Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
There's an echo. Echo.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Comic-Con Stars. This is Dr. John. Glad to be here with everybody. We're going to have an amazing episode tonight featuring the cast of Dusk, the award-winning internet drama and horror series on the internet, as we say. We got the whole crowd with us from the episode tonight, specially written for Comic-Con Stars. Right now, I would like to introduce and check in with our hosting team, Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
Fantastic.
That's great. We're glad you're here. Glad you're fantastic. What you got? You got a lot of things coming up. This weekend's a big, big weekend for you. Tell us a little bit about what's going on, if you don't mind.
Well, this Sunday, the 22nd at 3 p.m., will be the premiere and screening of my new film documentary, The Maestro, done by Green Hero Films at the River Run International Film Festival. Looking forward to it. Something I never thought would come to fruition, but it's happening. And I'm very excited for all the fans and friends of mine to go check it out. Also, there'll be a second screening, April 27th, 3 p.m., same place, same time, River Run International Film Festival, 3 p.m. So either one of the screenings you guys that are listening, you get a chance to go to the Winston-Salem, North Carolina area. I highly recommend that, plus many other great films that will be happening at the River Run International Film Festival. I'm pretty excited and pretty overwhelmed. And thank you to Green Hero Films, and thank you for fans around the world that have supported me through the years. This is something I've wanted to do for you guys for a long time, and it's going down. So I really appreciate everything. Thank you.
Well, we're proud of you, Pop Stro. You've got a great story to tell. And those guys, I know I've seen the trailer, and I tell you what, I'm sure they've told it well. They have to for it to have gotten into that film festival. So all your fans are here with you rooting for you. So congratulations. Thank you very much. And the one and only smoking a cigar, David Atwell. How are you doing tonight, Dave?
I am doing very well. I hope everybody else is. Yes, and I am indeed smoking a cigar from a quick plug for my brothers at Godfather Cigars down West Boulevard there in Jacksonville. In the event that you need yourself your cigar and pipe needs, go on down there and speak to Eddie and Rodney. Tell them I sent you. So the Comic-Con Star.
Rodney!
Yes. Rodney.
All right. Well, that sounds
got
wonderful.
A little surprise gig coming up here that just popped up in the last 24 hours. But if you are free and around the Kinston, North Carolina area on May 5th, that is a Saturday at 1500 hours, that is 3 o'clock for y'all civilians, 1500 hours, there will be a comic book. I just call it a general geek fest. They're going to have some stormtroopers out there and everything. And Nicole, who operates the library out there, the event side of everything, she was fantastic enough to consider me, give me a shout and say, hey, come on out with your books and your sketches and everything. Throw out a table and have some fun. So in the event, you're around Kinston, 3 o'clock on May 5th. Stick your head in there. Say hello. Take some selfies with the 501st. I don't know if the 501st is going to be there or not, but nevertheless, some stormtroopers and have a good time.
That sounds
That's
great,
awesome.
David. Yeah. May 5th is Free Comic Book Day all over the world, and especially at libraries and comic book stores. Carolina Caricatures, Cody and I will be in Charleston at Captain's Comics, West Ashley.
Wow.
All day on that Saturday. And a lot of great things happening down there with Mike Campbell and his crew. They produced Captain's Expo, a wonderful, wonderful Comic-Con that Papa Stro and us have gone to last several years and enjoyed it. So check us out there. Check out my new website in conjunction with the Lizard Man Festival. It is bishopvillesc.org. I now have a column, believe it or not. I have a newspaper column again after all these years. It is called Lizard Man, Bigfoot, and Friends. The second column goes up tonight after I finish proofing it. And the next 2 weeks, I will have an in-depth interview with Lyle Blackburn, who wrote the book
awesome.
Lizard Man, the true story of the monster of Bishop Villa. I had a great talk with him today. It's funny. This is the 30th anniversary of the Lizard Man, and I'm going to tell you what. People are coming out of the woodwork with stories, with the most amazing things. So be sure to check out Lizard Man, Bigfoot and Friends, the column that is on bishopvillesc.org. And also you can check out the book of the same name available on Amazon. If you got Amazon Prime, it's free, Lizard Man, Bigfoot and Friends, True Stories of Cryptids as Recounted by People That I Know, Trust, and Cherish. So it's a blast. Then, of course.
Hey, you know what? They could be the new Avengers after the Avengers movie, Infinity Wars.
Well, I'm getting ready to talk.
Lizard Man, Mothman, they could be the next Avengers.
That's exactly right. We're working on it. Oh, Papa Stroh, why did you blow my cover? But anyway, and a week from Saturday, for next Saturday and Sunday.
Thanos made me do it, sorry. Thanos twins tomorrow.
The devil made you do it. Flip.
Infinity Gauntlet made me do it, actually, because he's got the stones, right?
Oh, okay. Gotcha. But yeah, Raleigh Cosplay Expo.
I had stones once.
I'm sorry, April 28th and 29th. It's going to be a blast. Cosplay contests. On Saturday, we will have the superhero villain cosplay contest. We will have the horror cosplay contest. We will premiere the new Lizard Man, the full Lizard Man suit done by incredible artist Bill Stein from Wilmington. And then on Sunday, we will have a steampunk cosplay contest and an anime cosplay contest. So we're going to have a big, big weekend in Raleigh at the Ramada Inn on Blue Ridge Road, right next to North Carolina State University and across from the legendary Dorton Arena. So got a lot of great
Dorton
things
Arena,
coming
yes.
up. And, of course, the great Dorton Arena, which featured Papa Stroh so many times when he was wrestling there with NWA, Crockett Promotions, and that whole bunch. Oh, Papa Stroh, those were great days, weren't they?
Oh, good times, man. Speaking of which, we just lost two of the greats in the wrestling world, the great Bruno Sammartino and number one Paul Jones, in which both gentlemen were very instrumental in helping me out when I started, you know, my wrestling career. And so those two guys have pretty much got their own wing in wrestling history, no doubt.
And in the hearts of all wrestling fans, number one Paul Jones, Bruno Sammartino, what great wrestlers they were. They helped build the wrestling world that we love. So all of our thoughts and prayers to those great men that have done so much for wrestling. And we're so happy to have our favorite professional wrestler, Papa Stroh, with us tonight. And Papa Stroh is doing double duty tonight. It is time, ladies and gentlemen. Comic-Con Stars would like to present the cast of Dusk for tonight. And I'd like to welcome, first of all, producer, writer, director, all-around good guy, and he even takes that. Hey, Ron, I know you take the trash out too. Ronald Rossman, how are you doing tonight?
I do windows too. I'm doing great. How are you, John? Bob, Dave?
I'm doing great.
How's it going?
Got a big smile. We got some great people on here tonight. Ron, thanks for being with us.
Ron!
Yes. A couple weeks ago, I don't know what happened. We were having one of our many phone conversations, and somehow one of us talked about doing an episode of Dusk on Comic-Con.
Yeah,
Stars.
One of us.
Or maybe one of us, or maybe it was Papa Stroh or somebody. And then we talked about it, and it seemed like a good idea. And then all of a sudden, Ronald Rossman says, John, I'm writing a special episode for Comic-Con Stars. I said, whoa, that is killer. So what I want to announce to everybody is there will be a permalink. There will be a permanent link on Comic-Con Stars starting tomorrow for this particular broadcast and ever listen to it on ComicConStars.com. And it's wonderful. So, Ron, tell us, how's Dusk going? Fill us in, because you're the man that has the plan.
Well, Dusk is going phenomenal. And to give you the indication of that, we're in episode 20, which I can't believe we've done 20 episodes, all of them. All but two live, and we are now averaging about 1,900 views per video, which is not too shabby. Our last episode, episode 20, just broke 3,000 views, and that is strictly organic. There's no boosting. That's strictly organic, and we're just pleased as punch as how well the series is going. I've got a phenomenal cast, who make amazing magic on screen, both live and when we do post. And I just have a feeling that stay tuned, because Dusk is going to be bigger than I think any of us could have ever imagined. As Ali said, it's not if, it's when. Ali's our Mal.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Mal is awesome.
That is great. That is great. I'm so glad to hear that it's going well. And tell us, if you don't mind, and I didn't tell you what we were, everything we're going to talk about, if you could encapsulate the history of Dusk in 3 or 4 minutes, tell us a little bit about Dusk, how it got started. And you see, I'm putting you on the spot. I want you to crystallize it into the most important things, prioritize it right now. Tell us a little bit about, so the folks that do not know Dusk, they'll listen to this, and it'll excite them. They'll see where it's come from. So start the history of Dusk. Just a quick overview.
I don't think I can boil a minute rice in 3 minutes. Dusk started out as a trilogy of books. I am a self-published author. I have 2 books out there right now on Amazon.com, The Lost Road to Hope and The Crux. Being a self-published author, it can be very frustrating as much as rewarding. I had run out of funding to publish the trilogy. And so in talking with a few friends of mine, I said, you know, let's turn this into a series. It might actually work, a Facebook series. And then because I am internally a sadomasochist, I decided to make it a live series and film every episode live on Facebook Live. There's no other dramatic series on Facebook Live like us. There's obviously a reason for that, because we're the only fools brave enough to tread where no one else will go. We started out with a group of cosplayers, and as we've continued through the episodes and through the now the second year, we've upgraded our cast, we've upgraded our equipment, we're continuing to do that with the equipment, and now we have this amazing series that it's incredible. And we were at Charlotte Comic Con last week, and I was at the table with this great group of actors, Donnie and Rob and Corey Willis and James Hurley and Allie and Brandon and all the rest. And you think, well, did you sell DVD? Did you sell prints? That wasn't important. What was important is everybody who walked by the table. We had the episode 18 going, the episode with Cassie Page and Stephen Skrull Russ, and people would stop and just stare at the television, watching the episode, totally engrossed by it. And as a writer and a director and a producer, you can't put a price on that. It's just, when you've entertained someone that much, you go back to P.T. Barnum, where the noblest art is making others happy. And it's just awesome to watch that. We were getting about 800 on average hits last season. We're getting 1,900 this season. We're getting recognized. I was in the movie theater a couple weeks ago to see Pacific Rim, my son. The girl behind the counter said to me, I know you. And I had played Batman at that theater before. And I said, it must be Batman. She goes, no, I know you. I'm like, well, do you go to cons? She goes, no, I know you. You have a series. I'm like, yeah. She goes, like a web series. I said, yeah. She goes, you're the villain from Dusk. You're Michael. And she asked for my autograph. And that's the first time that's happened to me since the series started. And other stars, Cassie and some others, have had a similar incidents happen to them. So we're starting to grow. And I have no doubt that 3,000 views is going to hit 30,000. It's going to hit 300,000. And eventually we'll go viral, and everyone will get a chance to partake in this very special endeavor. Was that 3 minutes? Did I cover it okay?
No, that was perfect. I don't care how long it
okay,
was.
Good.
That was just perfect. That was great.
So now, that's the first thing. The second thing is, I'd like to do a second thing, a third thing, and then I'm going to turn it over to you and your cast. Second thing is, I'd like for you to quickly introduce each of your cast members and give us a sentence about each one so we know who they are, and then tell us a little bit about what the heck is going to happen, and then we'll let it happen. How's that?
That sounds great. Okay, so joining me tonight, in order of appearance, is Donnie Goebel, who plays the Alchemist. He actually came at the last minute in season one, did such an awesome job that he's continued to play that character in season two. Donnie is the MacGyver of cosplay props. He can make anything. I will actually be debuting his Daredevil costume, hopefully at Avengers Infinity War. Donnie is also works in the theater behind the scenes, and he also is a very renowned North and South Carolina cosplayer of Captain America. So, and he embodies all that Steve Rogers is, so I love Donnie. Also joining me is James Hurley, who plays Fenton Rivers, one of our most popular characters. He's played it throughout the entire both seasons. James is has his own YouTube channel, which is blown up. It's got over 18,000 subscribers. It's James's Universe, Y-O-U, Universe. He's a reactionary performer. He does voice overs as well in his where he compares his voice to the Joker, to Batman, to Kylo Ren. He's phenomenal. He also is a speaker on behalf of those struggling with Asperger's and autism, and he's growing into that role more and more each day and has become a true role model in overcoming that challenge. Also joining us is, of course, Rob, the maestro, the stro, the legend, the true legend of wrestling. We are so blessed to have Rob. He is and the humblest guy you ever met. He is the absolute humblest guy you ever met. So we're absolutely blessed to have him. With him also is Zachary Thrift. Zachary has a Facebook page called Fear the Underground. Zachary is a rising MMA fighter. He's had several fights. He is brutal. The guy is just he scares me just by winking at me. He's also a stunt choreographer. And last but certainly not least is Brandon Himes, who plays Alexander, our big baddie for the season. And he's been phenomenal and does one of the best Eastern European accents I think anyone's done. Brandon also is a has done a couple of films on his own. He also is a voiceover artist and a YouTuber as well. So that's my cast. Did I forget anybody?
That's a pretty strong cast. That really is.
Yes. That's just a part of it, too.
And now tell us what happened, and then I'm gonna turn it over to you, and we're going to let it happen. Ladies and gentlemen, Ron Rossman is going to tell us what's going to happen on this special episode of Dusk. Go, Ron.
This is a special podcast episode that will only debut on Comic-Con Stars. It's entitled False Hope. It actually takes place between episodes 20 and 22. It was written in 3 hours. It's one of my best pieces yet, and I'm very honored and privileged to have these guys come together at the last minute to do this dramatic table read. So are you ready for us to begin, Mr. Stamey?
Sir, we're ready for you to begin. Dave Atwell, Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling, and I, the cast of Comic-Con Stars, is ready for Dusk. False Hope.
All right, here we go. The weary and conflicted Fenton returns to the lab of the alchemist, deep within a hidden satellite building of Majestic. Entering a large room, he finds the enigmatic figure sitting at a table working on a strange device. Before he can announce his presence, the alchemist acknowledges his otherwise covert entrance.
I hope you weren't followed.
Of course not.
I don't recall expecting a visit from you.
I had no choice.
There is always a choice.
The governor is malfunctioning. I almost killed someone.
Almost, being the operative word.
How can you be so flippant? I'm being serious. I lost control. You assured me that wasn't a possibility.
I don't make assurances. Science offers none, and magic even fewer.
Then what was the point?
The alchemist completes his work and stands, stretching. He turns nonchalantly, without even a hint of urgency, towards Fenton, who has found his way to a table. Fenton sits, nursing his neck, as the alchemist approaches.
Life is risk, riddled with uncertainty and fraught with hardship. Only death is easy and definitive.
Enough of your theatrics. I am not impressed. I never have been.
Ah, I see.
See what?
Who I'm truly speaking with.
What the heck does that mean?
Ever since you first came to me, I haven't been able to be completely sure.
Sure of what?
Who I'm really speaking to. The frightened Boy Scout, terrified of his own shadow, naive to a point of nauseating.
Or?
The demon, who is just beginning to stretch his singed and tattered wings.
I am no demon.
Are you trying to convince me or you?
You mock my conflict.
No, I am utterly perplexed by it.
You would prefer I allow it to consume me?
I have no preference in the matter. I simply stated the oddity I find in it. Now, might I examine the device?
The alchemist begins his examination, humming a tune as he makes his discernments and adjustments.
Well, is it fixable?
How much do you remember?
Too much.
Then, what is my name?
The Alchemist.
Then it's, as you say, fixable.
And if I had remembered?
You didn't. So there's no need to travel paths that dare not be tread.
I can still hear him.
Well, that's not because of a failure in my design.
Oh, really?
No. The voice that beckons to you was invited.
How can you say that?
With my mouth.
Always the comedian.
Always the victim.
And what would you call what happened to me?
Birthright.
What does that mean?
What does it matter? It will all be forgotten within a few more adjustments.
So it can be repaired.
One last time.
What?
I told you from the start. This invention is only as useful as your willpower allows it to be. If you are so easily swayed, then it becomes nothing more than an awkward Christmas light on your neck.
So, it all comes down to my fault again.
As long as you try to tuck your demons away.
I won't let them out. I'll die first.
Do you know the difference between real hope and false hope?
Yes.
I think not.
So, enlighten me.
That's the thing. There is none. The idea that humanity can be any more than it is destined to be, hopes it can be, births from a womb where the greatest lies are spawned.
I figured as much from you.
If you mean undeniable truth, you're correct.
That applies to how?
No matter how far you bury those demons, what anointed spade you think you possess, eventually they will claw themselves out from the dirt of your shame and regret, stronger and more determined than ever. And each time you try to push them down again, only makes their ascension more assured, until the day their rage will outmatch your resolve. And as you so astutely stated, the man before me dies, and the monster who remains will relish in your flesh.
Then make sure that thing you're tinkering with keeps that inevitability at bay as long as it can.
This Fenton is so refreshingly sincere. Are you sure you want to hide him away yet again?
Just shut up and fix the damn thing.
It was fixed a couple minutes ago.
Then why am I still here?
There's always a delay. Relax. You'll be back to your old lapdog self in a matter of moments.
Time to tell you to go off.
Rest for a moment, my young friend. It will allow the download to complete.
The alchemist uploads the information from the governor into the device he had been modifying earlier. When completed, he exits the room, leaving Fenton to his dreams, confident in the fact that he will remember very little when he wakes. Then the alchemist will fill in any blanks, just as he has done many times before, with a script provided by the young seer himself. While Fenton sleeps, the chief arrives, still avoiding his inevitable confrontation with Mel. The alchemist meets him in another room of his shadowy lair.
Where is the boy?
Resting comfortably. I see the tracking device worked. The governor gives off a signal unlike any other.
How much time do we have left?
Right to the point. I always admired that about you. I can no longer repair this device. I told you from the beginning that this was a temporary solution, much like putting a Band-Aid on an amputation.
What happens if it malfunctions again?
Well, that's up to Fenton, isn't it? In any event, I thought this was the purpose anyway, to test his abilities. Put him on the front lines, so to speak. Nothing to worry about, though. You always had your failsafe in place. First the wolf, then the angel. I have to admit, I thought it quite humorous when you convinced Osiris that Maddie was meant for Elizabeth.
What would happen if he was to truly lose full control?
No one would be able to stop him. Not the angel, nor the witch. Not even me.
What about Michael?
If everything you told me is true, it's a definitive possibility, but not a guarantee by any means. The real foolishness of it all is to continue to believe that this persona you have created is the real Fenton. That boy in there is merely the mask. It is the being behind it, the creature we first met in that dark and depressing asylum. That is who he truly is. No costume lasts forever, Cornelius. No matter how many times you alter it, patch it, mend it, eventually it wears away.
I see you were able to extract the information from this governor. What about the download from the other?
The data from the first governor was corrupted. Every vision that had filtered into it was lost when Michael's powers overwhelmed the device, damaging it beyond repair.
I thought if the governor was removed, the boy would die.
And he most definitely would, if someone else did. Only I can repair and remove this device. After all, it's my design.
And this final one?
That data is intact.
How long will it take to decipher this time?
The same as it always does. And my fear is it will yield the same said results it always does.
How can he not know, not be aware?
Every time he uses his powers, his mind fills with cognitive glimpses of the future. The device pulls them into its filter before he's able to truly comprehend them. So quickly, in fact, that their presence is barely noticed at all. And within that filter is where they stay trapped until I decide to access them.
Even with him seemingly losing control?
The two things are unrelated.
I would have thought for sure by now something would have changed.
I just had this conversation with Fenton, the one about false hope. Please spare me from having to repeat it to you.
When do we reach the point of no return with him?
That tracking device I gave you measures the level of threat in addition to locating the boy. The breaking point is clearly defined. If the governor malfunctions permanently, Fenton will be unaware of it at first, much like a placebo effect. But once he does realize it is offline, your precariously constructed house of cards comes tumbling down. However, even with the mechanism offline, your device will still measure his psychic output as long as it falls below the breaking point. He can be exterminated. I can only presume you have instructed the angel as such.
She is aware.
And what is your backup plan if she fails, or worse, betrays you?
I am the backup plan.
You would kill the boy.
I wouldn't be killing the boy. We both know that.
Somewhere deep down inside, I believe you actually care for him. You seem to have a bad habit of latching on to strays. First the witch, and now the basket case. Wasn't it you who told me never name what you eat?
There will always be a part of me drawn to life. An annoying remnant of a person who exists only in fleeting memory, between the moments between sleep and lucidity, the one facet of my past that still haunts me.
You are still trying to be the good guy of this story, but there are no heroes here. This is strictly about survival. Break the pattern, and then you'll have all the time in the world to play hero. Until then, my old pirate friends, stay the course. Right and wrong, black and white, no longer exist. All we are left with is do or die.
Across the city, gradually darkened by the setting sun, Alexander stares intently out of a window, admiring the hues of red and orange that now softly radiate as the impending dusk arrives. Victor returns from his assignment with news. Alexander turns to him.
Have the arrangements been made?
Lilith will meet you at the address.
Victor hands his lord the piece of aged and weathered parchment. Alexander reads it with caution.
How is she?
She is Lilith. What more can be said?
She's the only way out of this, Victor. Without her, my brother will take full control.
It makes you think she will be able to stop him.
The Death Squad will make short work of Argus's minions, tear them apart and destroy his rising empire from the inside out.
That is if she agrees to.
She will. She owes me that much.
I got the feeling she believes the debt sits in your pocket, not hers.
No. Her loyalty is secure. She would have never risen to power without me.
When I killed my father and dismantled the accursed monarchy, her ascension to Overlord came by my blessing.
And in the return, what did she offer you?
A promise.
Knows no such honor. Respects no such bound. She would drain you dry before demonstrating the slightest expression of gratitude.
True enough, my faithful guardian. True enough. But what a deliciously hellish end that would be.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, completes the episode False Hope. Thank you.
Pretty darn good. That really was. Thank you, Arnold Rossman and the
Thank
cast
you.
Of Dusk. For those of us that don't get to see every episode, kind of tell us how that fits in. We saw basically two major scenes, correct, Ron?
There are actually three. This, if you go to facebook.com/theDuskSeries and watch up to episode 20, and realize the episodes are only anywhere from 8 to 11 minutes long, you'll see the lead up to this. And this occurs in between that episode and the upcoming episodes that are going to occur. It's a nice little teaser, not only to former episodes, but also to things to come. So I really like the way it laid out. And it's, you know, this was not something we originally planned. So to put this in there, it's a nice little extra puzzle piece that makes the picture that more vibrant.
Yeah, great. Well, you know, first of all, thank you to all of you. It was really wonderful. Now, as you normally do, what normally happens after a episode, Ron? What do you have?
Afterward, we scream in joy that we've actually got through a live episode, and then off the episode, and then we do some post-work, and then at about 4 o'clock Eastern time, after the episode, we have our after dusk where we go live and allow people to ask questions of the actors about the episode. We talk about the episode, all the things that went into it, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll be moving on to that. I'll say this. It's one of my favorite lines. It's not good to name what you're going to eat. I like that. That's always been a cool thing. So very kudos for that. Hello.
Well, thank you, John. It's labor of love, and like I said, this cast makes it happen. You can write as much as you want on a piece of paper, but these guys could make the phone book completely engaging and enthralling. So I appreciate their effort and all they do to make this an absolute success for us.
Exactly. And you see, we've got one of your stars, and we've also got a writer here. We've got Dave Atwell. He writes the Dusk. He writes the Hunger series, not the Dusk series. I can't believe I said that. He writes the Hunger series. And Dave, you as a writer, you know how tough it is to make things work. I mean, I think Ron did a good job. You got any comments you'd like to make?
Oh no, I mean, excellent job. I enjoyed every minute of it, and you know. At the beginning, when Ron said that he wrote 3 hours, I always find it amazing how you can do some of your best work at the most inopportune times. And I often speak about how there's this big romantic notion about people who write books where you sit in this nice little quiet office in a big fluffy leather chair and you got a ray of sunshine coming through the window and a little, you know, rock that your kid painted on the desk. It's nothing like that. It's a guy sitting at his dining room table with a laptop. And if you're anything like me, you have some type of adult beverage beside it. And it's kind of funny how when you sit down and, you know, you get up in the morning and you take care of the house and you go out there and do all the yard work and you're going, okay, you know, by 1100, I'm going to be sitting in front of that laptop and I'm going to write 7,000 words today. And you sit down and you write maybe 70 in an hour flat. But then you come home from work after working a 12-hour day, you fill up a big glass of whiskey, and you sit down, and the next thing you know, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and you're still writing. So flashes of genius happen at the most inopportune times, and never measure the time, never measure the words, always measure the success. So some of the best stuff in the Hunger series that I've written, I don't even remember writing it, to be quite honest with you, but sometimes I feel like it's that magic that makes it happen. If you're working at it, you're doing it wrong. Get on there and just let it flow. And I'm sure that's what Ron did, and that's why everything was so spot on. So congratulations. Much of my admiration coming from my direction on your ability to pull that off, Ron. I appreciate everybody being involved. You guys did excellent.
Thanks, David. That's true praise coming from you, so I deeply appreciate it. And, being as an admirer of your own work and knowing how hard you work at your series, I'm humbled by your comments. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, tell you what,
I appreciate your kind words.
It looks like we have a call from area code 469. Who's calling in?
Hiya.
Hey, who's
going?
Who got on the line tonight?
Yep, this is I, Aaron.
This is Aaron. He's one of my YouTube fans, and he's a big supporter of the Dusk series.
Yep. How's it going, guys?
Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Aaron.
How's it going? Yes, sir.
Hey, Aaron. How you doing?
Aaron, it's great to finally hear your voice live. That's awesome.
It is great to be on live. I mean, just didn't expect it. It's kind of amazing how I started listening to the Dusk series last year and already seen some of the episodes of Season 2, and already Season 2 is already starting off really well, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Granted, like all series, you're going to start off slow, but then over time, as you begin to improve, you build up, and it grows. It's like a tree. It just takes time to grow, and over time, it blooms.
Well put, sir.
Oh,
well put.
That's awesome.
A writer in
this. Yeah, Aaron's been one of our biggest fans. He reacts to the shows. He does it very earnestly. He's also an accomplished drummer, and he's a huge supporter of James and his YouTube channel. And I know Aaron's up and rising as well. But, Aaron, it's absolutely a pleasure to be talking to you. I love watching the reaction of videos the cast does. It gives us great joy to see someone invest their time into our series. So deeply appreciate your fandom.
Hey, no problem. I'm just glad to be able to join and also support. You guys are awesome.
And if I may add, Aaron, I'm going to tell you, buddy, there is nothing more powerful to the artist than somebody who just walks up randomly and says, just doesn't come up and gives the usual, you know, hey, so you write books. Nah, there's nothing more flattering. There's nothing more powerful for a guy like Ron or a guy like myself or, you know, Rob, John, any of them, that when you walk up and genuinely say, I dig your work, I like this guy, I can't stand this guy, keep it coming. Because for all those days we come home and the normal 9-to-5 job is dragging us down and, the light bill's due and everything else, it's the thoughts of guys like you that get us motivated and sit us in front of that laptop and get us going. It's fuel that drives the machine, so... just as much thanks goes in your direction for doing what you do as a fan. So much obliged. I'm not even attached to it, and I was impressed, so thank you.
Hey, no problem. I enjoy your series. Keep an eye out, though. I'll be bringing to you to the episode this sometime Saturday, and then I'll be keeping an eye out for the new episode. Besides, I am pumped to see what the next chapter will bring on for the rest of the season and also for the future seasons all the way to Season 6.
Absolutely.
I mean...
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, James actually inspired me to be an actor myself a little bit. I mean, on my YouTube channel, I actually did a fan film and I'm actually going to be working on at least 2 this year, hopefully, when I get the time, because I actually kind of got inspired to do acting because of James. So, but the Dust series, watching that, is kind of gives me understanding of how it goes, and it really keeps me thinking. So, props to you guys.
Thanks,
Aaron. Thank you very much, sir. Kind words indeed.
Yeah, thank you, Aaron.
Yep, still on the line. I got a question for Papa Strug. This is Dr. John. I got a question for my favorite wrestler and one of my favorite actors. Papa Strug, you came on the second season of Dusk. And I know personally, you and I have talked, you really are having a grand time being part of this. Tell us what you like the best about being on the series. Tough question, I know, because there's a lot of good stuff, and you've told me. Well, what do you like best about being on Dusk this season?
Well, obviously, aside from being a part of the best cast and crew anybody could ever ask to be a part of with the Dusk series, it's such an amazing ongoing story. All the personas, all the characters that are involved in the story, they all have such an interesting background leading up to this. And it's just, I've caught some of the first season of the Dusk series earlier on before joining the cast of Dusk. And watching James Hurley play Fenton was very much an early inspiration to me to dawn my interest to be a part of the Dust family. And it's been such an amazing ride this season and so far. And the best is yet to come as far as the season two goes. I mean, I couldn't ask to be a part of a better cast and crew than Dust. And Ronald Rossman Jr. Has done such an amazing job putting it all together, bringing us all together. I mean, we have a motley crew full of the most talented people anyone could ask for, from all different backgrounds and genres, coming together to make this happen and tell an incredible story for everyone to enjoy. So, I mean, I hope everyone is blessed watching our episodes as we are, being a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's a wonderful testament to what's going on.
You're too kind, Rob. And the thing is, Rob was actually my original choice for Chief, but I just thought to myself, this is Rob Kellum. There's no way Rob Kellum is going to say yes to what we have set up at Dusk. And when he said yes, my heart leaped about 20 times. And I'm just so glad that he's just completely brought that character to life. The one thing, one of the comments, the biggest comments we get is how much people love Rob as the Chief. And I just can't thank him enough. And like I said before, the humblest guy I met, this guy is a rock star. He is a true legend and is just so humble and so giving and so selfless. You know, I have this expression called be your own hero. And, you know, I always say to people, be selfless for this just simple act of being selfless. Do something selfless just because it's the right thing to do. We could change the world. And Rob lives that every day. So thank you, Rob, for making Dust so special. I appreciate it with all my heart.
Oh, thank you all so much for having me. Really, I'm really blessed and honored to be a part of y'all family, for sure.
Well, Rob, I know that they love having you on there. They don't like it. They really love it. Ronald Rossman, I've got another question for you. What's the toughest thing every week about producing Dust?
Oh wow, just hoping that nothing goes wrong is the first part of that. I mean, it's a three-part answer. Just you know, every hour we approach the live episode, a gazillion things can go wrong, and it's just, you know, trying not to become a basket case up to that point. Second is, you know, once we go live, I'm no longer the director. I'm just the cinematographer. And so the direction falls in the hands of the actors who always pull it off flawlessly. But, you know, as a director, you know, when you see an actor get into a struggle or they might, you know, have to reset lines or something and they can't do it, you want to jump in and help them and you can't. And every week these guys show me that they don't need me to. They just have a way of getting it back together. The final part is just enjoying it. I have a hard time enjoying the success because I'm such a perfectionist and I'm such I constantly want to do better that I need to learn to take a step back and just enjoy what's going on. And it's just hard. It's hard because I really want Dust to become something amazing. And I can still stop and smell the roses and do that, but I haven't convinced myself that that's a possibility yet.
You know, Ron, you said something that really was near and dear to my heart. Talking about you should be able to step back and enjoy it. As a guy that produces Comic-Cons, when the moment that Comic-Con starts, I can't enjoy a thing except 6 p.m. when that day is over. Because you know that you're on call. You're regardless of the fact that you're the cinematographer, it's really all your responsibility. And it's just hard. It's hard to enjoy it when you know you're responsible. Don't you think so, in a way?
Oh, absolutely, because while everyone else is going, wow, he did that, you're thinking of all the things that you could have done better. You're seeing all the mistakes nobody else sees, all the wrinkles, all the pieces of lint on the black coat and the stray dog hair, and everyone else is like, man, that was awesome. And you're like, oh, my God, there's 20 things I would do different. And it's just because, you want to make it perfect.
You hit the nail on the head. They'll say that's the greatest thing I ever saw. And you're thinking, I didn't want that. Yeah, I know exactly. Hey, we got another caller in here. Area code 910. Who's calling in from area code 910 tonight?
Hey, Dr. John, it's Todd, Dave, Stroh, Ron.
Hi.
How y'all doing?
Whoa, wait a minute. I know,
hey,
dude.
Good to hear from you.
What's up, man?
Glad to have you here, buddy.
No, I got I tell you, I got the gouge that this Dust thing was happening tonight when I was on Papa Stroh's broadcast last night, the WCW Retro on VOC Nation, you know, the BradyHicks.com. See, I got a plug in there. And they mentioned that you were going to do a Dust episode tonight. I was like, man, I was really excited about that because I was just pumped. Honestly, I was watching some old comedy stuff, and man, I looked up. It was 2 minutes after 9. I was like, "Holy crap!" So I was just glad I didn't miss any of the episode.
Thanks for being here. We always appreciate having you here, Tom.
We appreciate listening. That's a huge compliment to us. Thank you, sir.
No, it just, you know. Period. Well, it also reminded me, been a while since I threw a plug out on my Facebook page, and I have to get back around to you. I think it's just been the Comic-Con stuff that I posted lately and the other podcasts. But, yeah, that was great. I mean, I appreciate you taking the time to write a special episode for this, the crew jumping in on it. That was absolutely great. And I just wanted to give a big thanks. Appreciate the work you do.
Thank you, sir. And yeah, the cast, for them to come together, you know, they all have 1 to 2 jobs and busy schedules, and for them to jump in at the last minute and say, yeah, we want to do this was awesome. And not just that, they got the scripts last night, and they pulled them off flawlessly, which is I fully expected. So I love these guys. And Donnie especially. Donnie, you know, he, like I said, got thrust in this role, and he had I didn't realize how much – dialogue I gave him until I was reading through the script with them, but I did a phenomenal job. And Brandon, Brandon's girlfriend Allie, who plays Mal, she's doing The Wiz right now, and so Brandon took time out of, you know, kind of helping her to do this. And then Zachary Thrift, with his training with DNA training and all the stuff he does, plus raising a daughter and all that. You know, these guys are awesome. They're just amazing. I love them. I truly love them. They are my extended family. And I just can't thank them enough for all they do.
Yeah, and I get it. Everybody's got a life, and it gets complicated all on itself. And then you got Ron and Dr. John putting their minds together saying, hey, let's do this on a Thursday night at 9 p.m.
Heck yeah.
And they pulled it off.
We did, because we have a great cast, great writer, director, and everything. We've got good stars. We've got and great calling people. Thanks for calling in. It's always good to hear your voice. We've got a lot of great things going on in the Jacksonville area as well. Got a Comic-Con coming up June 2nd. You're up there. We're always glad to have you volunteering with us. And so yeah, it's been a lot of fun getting to work around in these areas. Like we were all just in Charlotte this past weekend for the Charlotte Comic-Con. I think I'm the only one that got the con crud. In case people don't know, that means got that, but we're getting better. I was accused tonight of sounding like Barry White, which is of course an honor. He's won more Grammy awards than I have, so I'll take that comment. But I tell you what,
you should take it as a compliment. You're turning me on. Oh my God.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right, Ron. Since you know all of your stars by name, here's what I'd like to ask you to do, because you know the stars don't get to speak out all the time because you're a great voice for Dusk. But I'd like for you to just introduce them to you, and as you introduce them, tell us a little bit about you, your role, and what you like about being in Dusk. Ron, can we do that?
Yeah, definitely. I like when they get the spotlight far more than when I do. Guys, just like we do at After Dusk, we do our kind of plugs at the end. I'll call out your name, and you just jump in with your plugs and so forth. And we'll start backwards this time. Zach had to drop off, unfortunately. He had to go take care of his little one. But let's start with Brandon Himes. Brandon, go ahead.
We're doing plugs.
Plug away, my friend. Talk a little about who you are, what your background is, why you like Dusk, and anything you got going on.
Well, my name is Brandon Himes. I've been part of Dusk for a little bit now in Season 2. I'm having the time of my life. Love working with everybody. Don't really have much going on right now. I've got a YouTube channel called Branimations. That's Branimations, where I do voiceover, voice acting, and animation type stuff. So if you want to go check that out, go ahead.
Thanks, Brandon. And so you guys know a little trivia. Brandon actually rehearsed for a bit part and then got the major part of being Alexander the Villain, which I'm really excited. And when he came at me with that accent, I was like, oh, it was almost as sexy as your voice, John. Almost. Let's go to Donnie Goble. Donnie, go ahead and do your thing.
Hi, guys. My name is Donnie Goble. I am super excited to be a part of this series, the Dusk series, and I'm truly and just ecstatic to be cast as the Alchemist, which is a different part for me. I'm very cut and dry. I'm the like Ron said earlier. I try to embody the thoughts and the actions of my favorite hero, which is Captain America. So to play a more mysterious character, more kind of darker character, I guess you could say, a little bit, is very fun for me and very rewarding. And it's an honor to be able to work with this great cast. I feel like I've made some new friends. They're all very professional, great group of people. I have much respect for Ron Rossman, who plays the role of just about everything. He, from acting to producer to everything, he is extremely talented, and I'm just extremely excited to be a part of this cast. And as a plug, I guess you could say, I'm excited to announce that hopefully in the near future I'll be announcing the start of my cosplay costume creation, and I'm going to start my business and start creating costumes. Keep an eye out for that. Hopefully, Ron, I'll let me do a shout out on the website there.
Absolutely. Donnie, like I said before, is actually making my Daredevil costume, and we're making it identical to the Netflix series. And if we had a little bit more cash, he would have made it tactical, where you could, it would have been able to take a knife hit and stuff like that. So Donnie's hardcore. And Donnie's wife, Brittany Gerber, plays Katrina and is also our indispensable script supervisor. So also in the cast, one of my best friends, James, has been with me now for almost 3 years. He's a phenomenal guy, just a true guy, a true friend in every aspect of the word. And James, talk about, you know, plug away, baby.
Hello, everyone. I am James Hurley, and I have been in the Dusk series for you know, since the show started. And I guess, you know, what really attracted me to the script was, you know, Ron, like, presented the idea that I play a character who's extremely relatable to myself, and that actually made it easier for me. In my background of acting, I've just been playing, you know, minor or background characters, so I never really had something professional to, like, you know, take on as far as the main role, and this was a first for me. And the character of Fenton, like, throughout the whole reading the script and Ron and I discussing details of the character, it just kept me intrigued, and I just loved that him and I were so alike, and that made it easier for me to perform as him whenever we did an episode. And I am like, so happy, you know, with what we're doing with Fenton right now, so everyone can just, you know, stay posted and see what goes on with him this season. And as far as being part of, you know, the Dusk cast, first of all, I love everybody involved, like, all the crew and cast. They're amazing. They're, you know, they're all so talented. I feel like every time I'm with them, it's like we're not friends or anything. We're all one big family, and I feel so humbled and blessed to be a part of that. And so I hope, you know, I hope that we keep building this family up as we keep going on with the show for as long as we can. And, you know, while in addition to doing Dusk, you know, I, as Ron has stated earlier, I am also a YouTuber called James's Universe, and, you know, that's where I just really spend my downtime, just doing a lot of video stuff that's pretty much amateur, but it has already attracted 18,000 followers and more to come, as it seems. So yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, with Dusk and YouTube, I'm hoping that being involved in that is just going to help get my name out there, and hopefully I'll get to find even more awesome opportunities in the field of acting. So yeah, that's about it.
Thank you, James. And last but not least is one of my favorite people in the whole world. Just an amazing guy. I've said it numerous times this program, and I can't say enough, is Rob Kellum, who plays the Chief / Cornelius. So, Rob, I think you've already talked about a couple things, but go ahead and hit it again.
My name is Rob Kellum, Papa Stroh, and I portray the role of the Chief in season 2 of the Dust series, and it's such an amazing ride. I touched on it earlier, but the Chief is very, very mysterious in his motives and his agendas, in which as this season develops in season 2, you'll reveal more and more where the Chief is going, in which I'm very excited to, you know, have that take life, if you will, with the series. So, like I mentioned earlier, the awesome cast and crew, very talented people, every last one of them, different backgrounds, different walks of life coming together to form this Dust family. And it's such a pleasure and honor to be part of the series. And please keep in touch with the series. Watch past episodes with future episodes as well on the Dust page on Facebook, facebook.com/DustSeries. Be on the lookout also for a music video that I'm starring in with Alex Zazer and Eli Doubletap. By the band So It Begins, the song's called Retaliation, done by Yippie Gaye Productions, and it's kind of a whole recreation of the Punisher story. Very, very excited for you guys to check that out as well. And also, I have the film documentary, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, about yours truly, on my life and career and what lies ahead with the Maestro film documentary that was playing at the River Run International Film Festival April 22nd and 27th, 3 p.m., done by Green Hero Films. But going back to the Dust series, it's such a pleasure and honor to be part of it. And I'm looking forward to many more episodes with my Dust family and the Dust fans to enjoy. So, yeah, thank you for having me be part of this great, great series.
Well, Papa Stro, I'm going to say the same thing. I thank you and Dave Atwell for being part of this Comic-Con Stars family. And Ronald Rossman, thanks for coming on here, bringing your cast, bringing your fans. And we've had a great time tonight, and it was a wonderful episode. I want to encourage everybody, please watch Dusk. I'm going to do better. I'll stay busy. Lizard Man and I stay pretty busy, but I'm gonna do better at watching Dusk, more Dusk. Ron, is that okay? Yeah, I'll get Lizard Man and we'll keep watching Dusk. Okay.
That'd be great. I'm hoping that we could feature Lizard Man in an eventual episode.
Well, that's right. Well,
that would be really cool.
We're gonna have some interesting things going on with Lizard Man. I'll tell you that. As I said, with the 30th anniversary coming up, there's a lot that's coming out. It's more like a soap opera anymore than it is Lizard Man, but it's a lot of fun. And just glad to be part of the Comic-Con Stars world with all my friends on here. I've got a lot of friends right here sitting here on the show, and it's been wonderful. So I want to thank you, Ron. I want to thank the cast and crew of Dusk for tonight's show for being here. I want to thank Papa Stro, you got a great week coming up, and you've got your documentary at the River Run Film Festival. Dave Atwell, you have got the Hunger series. I have got Lizard Man and the Raleigh Cosplay Expo. And so we got a lot of great things to look forward to. Now, next week on Comic-Con Stars, we've got a very, very interesting guest. We got Mike Watkins of Hybern Studios. Mike is now the voice of Viper. And he's going to come on, and it's going to be a blast with him next week with our regulars, and we're going to have a good time. So on behalf of Comic-Con Stars, anybody else have anything before we call it a wrap? Anybody got anything else to say, share, or shout out to anybody? Todd, you got anything?
I do not, sir, other than, I just excited about the stuff that went on tonight and re-mention about Papa Stro's film there on coming this Sunday, which you already did, so I'm just repeating it. At the River War on Film.
Yeah, we always repeat that one. It's a good one. And now, Ron, when is the next episode of Dusk?
All right, so we have our next live episode this Sunday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be one of our most emotionally charged episodes. And then our After Dusk will occur at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So everybody come watch it. I think you'll be able to see Dusk and also see Rob's film, and then see After Dusk, and then see Rob's film again. So it's the perfect binge watch. It's better than anything on Netflix right now.
That's great. That sounds like fun. So that's wonderful. Speaking of Netflix, that's neither here nor there right now. We'll talk about Netflix later, maybe next week. So, look, I want to thank everybody, Ron Rossman, casting from Dusk, Bob Stro, thank you, Dave Atwell, our guests tonight that have called in. I want to thank everybody, and we will see you next week, 9 p.m. Eastern on Comic-Con Stars. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Good night. Thanks again, Ron and the crowd. Well done tonight.
Thank you,
man.
Guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Todd.